we live in, and revival has not come, and we wonder just what tomorrow holds. Will our children know the freedoms that you and I have known, or will sin in our country take its toll?
It's not because God's left us, it's because we
the same yesterday, today, and forevermore here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang again with you on another Saturday night, ready for another time of tithing, giving, and offerings. And we'll be part 37 tonight of talking how man gives to man. But of course, tonight we'll be showing you how, like, different angels or the devil or demons give to a man. So you'd be watching exactly how they're giving. And it's very interesting that, yes, even the angels gave to man, and sometimes even the devil in his dirty, rotten ways gave. So we'll be watching that tonight as we study out in part 37. And, of course, in our Bible prophecy, Ruthie will be discussing the calamity of the Antichrist and his calamity. So we'll be paying attention to that and seeing what it is. What's his ultimate calamity? What's his downfall? So we're going to find out what that's all about tonight. We've got a great program figured out for you tonight. But let's start by inviting the most welcome guest here tonight, along with you, our listeners, Lord Jesus. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for being our most welcome guest here tonight. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for you say where two or three are gathered, you're in our midst, Lord Jesus. So, Lord Jesus, we ask you to take the wheel, Lord Jesus, and steer this program as you see fit, Lord Jesus. Because, Lord Jesus, if you take the wheel, everything will go well. And then, Lord Jesus, for that soul who is nearest hell, we ask, Lord Jesus, that you would touch them right now. Help them to reel up the white flag, saying, I yield, I yield. And knowing, Lord, that your word says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, that thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We also know, Lord Jesus, that your word said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, Lord Jesus, we take that promise right here tonight for that soul who is lost and nearest hell. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team here of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask you, Lord, to give them a special blessing, no matter whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. We ask you to give them a special touch so they could keep on keeping on for you. And then, Lord Jesus, for your children, we ask the same, so they could keep on keeping on for you. And then, Lord Jesus, for every man, woman, boy, or girl out there under the sound of our voice, knowing of all these tragedies and the shootings and all this thing going on, we ask, Lord Jesus, you help us to love our neighbors as ourself, knowing that we ultimately would be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you. So, Lord Jesus, help us to do all this. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. And then we welcome in our most welcome guest, an honored guest, but also welcoming you, our listeners, those who call 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. And you'll be able to press the number one, join the conversation, and especially at the end of our program, answer our question of the day. And also, we want you to know that you also, for our listeners who are listening via the internet, want to say welcome to you, our surrounding city and states, as well as our countries near and far. Want to welcome you all, and you're very welcome to be on board with us tonight. We know that we got Dalton somewhere in the wings, and Nancy, Oklahoma, and all you, our listeners, welcome, welcome, welcome. But right now, let's get into our show with, as usual, our preliminary announcements things, and then we're coming right back with you right here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. If you'd like to contact us via email, you may do so by using one of the following email addresses. If you wish to contact me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, use the email address feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, the letter N as Nancy, then touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, King, like the guy who sits on the throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, at gmail.com. If you wish to contact Ruth, you contact her by using KJV1611Ruth@gmail.com. That's again, K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611. R is Randy, U is Umbrella, T is Tom, H is Henry, @gmail.com. In your subject line, just put what you're in reference to, you wanting to get a hold of us, whether it's my email address about whatever it may be, or Ruth, you would put Bible prophecy, and then refer in your message to your subject line, and we will not only read your email, but we will get back in contact with you. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, that's 424-243-9617. 243-9617. Press the number 1. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. Noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Six and Road take the mics for the Six and Road Show. 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study for the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet and Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, along with trivia, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, get lit. That's at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible college on the air with no homework. And that happens at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 Pacific. If you'd like to keep shows like this one on the air, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, sixeyes6@gmail.com. Again, that's SIXEYES, the digit number 6, @gmail.com. In the box where it asks for the amount of your love gift, well, that comes from your heart, no matter how big or small, will be greatly appreciated. And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. For those of you who would like to make a donation to Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 2for1katie@gmail.com. That is the digit number 2, then you spell out the word 4, F is Frank, O is Oscar, R is Randy, the digit number 1, then you spell the name Katie, K is Kite, A is Apple, T is Tom, I is an Indian, E is Elephant, @gmail.com. Then in the box for the amount of your love gift, any amount, no matter how big or small, is greatly appreciated, and Blind Trucking thanks you very, very much. All right, and Sister Ruth, just to give anyone a chance, do we have anyone else on the line with us?
Just you and me, though.
All right. Well, then, without any further ado, we'll get right into our program tonight and sit back with your favorite beverage there, folks, and get out your Bible, your King James, and get ready for a time of great Bible study in the Word about tithing, giving, and offerings. Amen. For those of you who call 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, at the end of the program, you'll be able to press the number 1, join the conversation, and answer our question of the day, which is, what was the largest, we're talking about in size, what was the largest gift you've ever received? What was the largest gift you've ever received? But right now, we're going to get into our part of the program about tithing, giving, and offerings. And we'll be talking about how God sees man giving to man, part 37 tonight, part 37 of how God sees man giving to man. And our first scripture context is found in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 1 through 28. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 1 through 28. All right, Ruthie, get a big swig of coffee and take us there.
For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham, returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but set, made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people, according to the law that is of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them, of whom it is witness that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If, therefore, perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arise another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest, for these priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as Stella's high priest, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore.
First of all, notice how the giving is done here. When the tithes were given to Melchizedek by Abraham, and you notice it's the spoils, not given all. Abraham didn't send somebody back to where he was from and get a tenth of everything he owned. No, he got only the tenth of the spoils. Hello, preachers. Only a tenth of the spoils. So let's get this right. And then if you notice, see, because Jesus becoming a high priest, there was the change of the priesthood. Now, there's only two things spoken of here. Change of the priesthood,
And then it changes the law. What law? Oh, I know what you're going to say. I know what you're going to say before you say it. Well, that's talking about the Mosaic law. No, 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 no. What law was spoken of in this chapter? Only one law was spoken of very clearly and by name. Want to play Jeopardy? Do, 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 do. Come on. Do, 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 do. Come on, you should be able to figure it out. The law of tithing. Uh-huh. But the main law in this chapter that was spoken of was tithing. And the Bible says in this chapter, when there was a change of the priesthood, there must of necessity be a change of the law, the singular law. Singular. And there was only one law spoken of by name in this chapter, the law of tithing. So pray tell, what was it changed to? Back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It was the law of cheerful giving. Yes, 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 yes. Cheerful giving. Oh, well, we don't want to do that. Or we tell people the cheerful giving or willful giving, all the people will give only what they want to give, and we won't have enough money in our churches. Oh, poor baby. Well, too bad. So sad. If you let them give of a free will, you might be surprised like Moses was and have too much and have to go, and the workmen will have to tell you, hey, tell them to stop giving. They're giving too much. Maybe you had to try that once. Amen. Maybe you had to try that once. A little bit of a free will offering instead of putting a yoke around the disciples' necks. Amen. All right. Well, enough preaching on that. Now we'll go to our next scripture context, which is found in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 17 through 19. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 17 through 19. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For it is unprofitable for you. Pray for us. For we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you, the rather to do this, that I may restore to you the sooner.
Here he speaks of giving an account. So there's another type of giving. And our next scripture context is found in James chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. James chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. If there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and if you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the loyal law, according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. But whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do. as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath shewed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, but ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Shew me my faith without thy works, and I will shew thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God that doeth well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?
And notice the giving in this whole context. Well, it's something that you don't want to be doing. Amen. All right, especially giving of respect to persons. Amen. All right, now, context is found in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 16. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 16. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are therefore, or thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and was see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But faith of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ.
Here we find husbands are supposed to give honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. Amen. Now for our final scripture before Ruthie has to figure out our message in song and poem, it's found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindnesses, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and selection sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall.
And you notice here, giving diligence. So in every case here, you notice the giving, the person doing the giving, once again, is not compelled or forced. And no, the receiver did not earn or deserve, but in every case, it's still a free will gift. Every time. Every time it's a free will gift. So God hasn't changed his definition, not yet. And we're already up into 2 Peter, and he hasn't changed his message yet. But we're not done tonight, and we'll see if he's changed his definition by the end of the night. All right, now, Ruthie, it's your turn. And no, the bad buzzer is not broken. It's not under repair, so we're going to see if you can find out the message in this song and poem together. What's the common message in this song and poem?
To trust and too tired to pray, said one, as the overtaxed strength gave way. The one conscious thought by my mind possessed
is, oh, could I just drop it all and rest? Would God forgive me, do you suppose, if I go right to sleep as a baby goes, without an asking if I may, without ever trying to trust and pray? Will God forgive you? Why think, dear heart, when language to you was an unknown art? Did a mother deny you needed rest, or refuse to pillow your head on her breast? Did she let you want when you could not ask? Did she set her child an unequal task? Or did she cradle you in her arms and then guard your slumber against alarms? Ah, how quick was her mother love to see the unconscious yearnings of infancy. When you've grown too tired to trust and pray, when overwrought nature has quite given way, then just drop it all and give up to rest, as you used to do on a mother's breast. He knows all about it. The dear Lord knows. Just go to sleep as a baby goes, without even asking if you may. God knows when his child is too tired to pray. He judges not solely by uttered prayer. He knows when the yearnings of love are there. He knows you do pray. He knows you do trust. And he knows, too, the limits of poor, weak dust. Oh, the wonderful sympathy of Christ for his chosen ones in that midnight tryst, when he bade them sleep and take their rest, while on him the guilt of the whole world pressed. You've given your life up to him to keep, and don't be afraid to go right to sleep.
Oh, okay. Well, Ruth, now the question is, do you know the message between this song and this poem?
God's always there for you all the time, even when you sleep.
The time is now.
Well, this time, you're absolutely correct. It was the fact that you could reach up and be glad you could reach up and feel a great big hand holding yours, even when you're too tired. That's exactly the message. And what a message it is. Amen. And now, let us go into a little information about our station and the great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, that's 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. Noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Six and Road take the mics for the Six and Road Show. 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study. For the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet and Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, along with trivia, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, get lit. That's at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible college on the air with no homework. And that happens at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 Pacific. Okay, now that we've heard about the great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, it's that time to remind those of you who've called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. You can press the number one, join the conversation at the end of our program, and answer the question of the day. What was the largest, meaning size-wise, what was the largest gift you've ever received? What was the largest gift you've ever received? Amen. And you'll be able to do that at the end of our program. But now let's get back into our program. And our next scripture reference is found in 1 John 5:13-18. 1 John 5:13-18. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. If any man see his brother in a sin of sin, which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whomsoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not.
And notice the giving here. Amen. All right, our next scripture context is found in the book of Jude. We've got to look at chapter 1, since there's only one chapter, verses 3 through 8. Jude 1, 3 through 8. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men, crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believeth not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth, for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise them dominion, and speak evil of dignities.
And notice the giving done here. Amen. All right, and our next scripture context is found in Revelation chapter 11, verses 3 to 14. Revelation 11, verses 3 through 14. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people in hundreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God enters into them. And they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted, they gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly.
And notice how they're given their power from heaven and how they're able to do their thing, but mainly notice the giving. Amen. All right, and our final Bible context tonight. Now, this one is going to be a little different. This has got to do with either an angel or the devil or someone like that giving power or giving something to a man, okay? We're going to start into that kind of context now, and we want you to still see how it's still giving to man. We're going into this Bible context now, and we want you to see this one, and it's found in Job chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Job chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But first pour thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face.
And notice here how Satan says a man will give skin for his life. So Satan is over there trying to brag on what a man will give for his life. All right. Now, what do we notice about these? In every case, once again, the giver is not compelled or forced. Neither does the person receiving earn or deserve it. But once again, all cases, still a free will gift. Yes, it's still got to be a free will gift. All righty. Once again, I want to remind those who've called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press number one, join the conversation, and be able to answer our question of the day as to what was the largest gift you've ever received? What was the largest gift you've ever received? And you'll be able to answer that question after Ruth's Bible prophecy, which is coming up very shortly here. Amen. But for right now, we're going to pause for a small commercial break, and we'll be right back with you. Amen.
Hey, baby. I will be there. Hope you are blessed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love you. Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. They can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
And this commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio, saying don't text and drive. Keep your hands on the wheel. Amen. All right. And now it's that time for Ruth to take the microphone as she gets into her topic tonight, the false prophet destined to calamity. That sounds real good. The false prophet destined to calamity. All right, Ruthie, we ask you to take the mic and Tell us about this false prophet who's destined to calamity.
There are three personages with whom the people living on the earth in the last days will have to deal. They are, one, Jesus Christ, two, the Antichrist, and three, the false prophet. The Bible gives us full and particular details about these three persons, about their coming into power, about their overall program, and everything we need to know about them. Concerning Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that he has bought this earth, and despite the tremendous struggle mankind is putting forth to control it, eventually Christ will be king over all the earth. Secondly, we know that Satan wants this earth for his own. Satan has tried to control the system of this world under four previous empires. One, Babylonian. Two, Medes and Persians. Three, Grecian. And four, Roman. In all four situations, he failed most miserably. So we know at the world situation, we realize, according to the Bible, that in the last days, Satan will endeavor to make a fifth attempt. They will be through a human being whom the Apostle John calls the Antichrist. Satan is endeavoring to gain complete control of this world system. He failed on previous occasions, but he's going to try again to gain worldwide prominence through his adopted son becoming the ruler of this world. His adopted son, and may I say this is my own phraseology, is known in Scripture as the Antichrist. The Bible says, will come into international prominence, rise to certain heights, have many failures, and become the laughingstock of the world. This is all to be embodied in his initial appearance upon the earth. This may be so because Daniel calls him the little horn. This means little dictator. When speaking of the Antichrist, most people present nothing but success for him all the way. But we must remember that there will be temporary setbacks in his administration of the world system. So complicated will the political situation be in the final hours of man's day, which extends from Adam to the Battle of Armageddon, that Satan will be assisted in his international program of satanic skullduggery by a second individual known in Scripture as another beast. It's Revelation 13:11 in the King James Version. The word beast is here used to identify the false prophet, and in Scripture it has four different meanings, one of them referring to depraved men. Perfect example of this is found in 2 Peter 2:12, where Peter speaks of natural brute beasts, and again in Jude verse 10. In other words, there are men who are satanically possessed to do evil acts like beasts. This will become one of the traits of both the Antichrist and the false prophet, and it will be reason for God to bring an appalling calamity upon the false prophet. Same time, we must remember there will be miraculous signs and lying wonders manifested on behalf of these two men upon the earth in the last days. The Bible tells us very carefully, where possible, the very elect would be deceived. Here's a portion of Scripture which tells us about those coming satanic miracles and lying wonders. And let's remember that these are to be brought about by a satanically inspired and satanically empowered human being. Here's the Scripture. Even him, that is the Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. That's 2 Thessalonians 2:9 in the King James Version of the Bible. Therefore, let me caution each one of you to be reminded of the absolute fact as we get near the end of this age, coming, miraculous worldwide, and awe-inspiring signs are to be the order of the day. It'll be in conjunction with the final preparations for the appearance and revelation of the Antichrist. I have every reason to believe that they will be performed or manipulated by an international religious leader under the disguise of confusing and camouflaging Satan's real intentions, presentation of his Antichrist to the world. Let's face facts. The majority of the people living on the earth at this particular moment do not pay very much attention to the message of the gospel. And naturally, God will be justified in permitting unsaved individuals to be satanically deceived because, as the scripture says, they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned or judged who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians 2:10 through 12 in the King James Version. There might be those who would ask the questions, why does God permit such evil things to go on in the world? And why would God, being holy and righteous, allow mankind to become confused and distorted in his thinking, and because of pressing circumstances, make wrong decisions, and by so doing, displease God? The answer to those interesting questions is simply that God does everybody an opportunity to make a decision, because, after all, we are free moral agents. We can say yes, or we can say no. Therefore, because God has allowed mankind to have the gospel message presented to him, but the masses of people on this earth have rejected the gospel message, through his permissive will, God is going to permit Satan and the false prophet to do the things Satan desires them to do. We're beginning to see how Satan will eventually fulfill his promise to the Antichrist by giving him the glories of the kingdoms of this world. Same time, please bear in mind the fact that the false prophet is going to play an important part in the Antichrist kingdom and the worldwide rule. False prophet is the second beast of Revelation 13 who will work in conjunction with the Antichrist. The Bible teaches that the false prophet will be a physical man by reason by saying it's that the first beast, or beast, the Antichrist, will be a man and not a system or worldwide organization as some people teach. Scripture telling us the Antichrist will be a man is found in Revelation 13, 18, for it is the number of a man. This verse of Scripture is talking about the Antichrist's number, and it plainly says it's the number of a man, not the number of a church or an organization, and not the keeping of a day. It's the number of a man. Therefore, the second beast will also be a man. We have a number of verses of Scripture to support this. Please bear in mind, this verse of Scripture tells us that the second beast, the false prophet, be a man. Okay, here's the Scripture. And I saw these unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Revelation 16, 13 in the King James Version of the Bible. This verse of Scripture is talking about the time when unclean spirits like frogs will come from Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet and go to the leaders of governments of the earth to persuade them to bring their armies to the Battle of Armageddon. Therefore, we must reconcile our thinking with the fact that the false prophet will be a human being. The big overall encompassing program of the false prophet will be that he might help to gather the nations of the world at Jerusalem. Now, when I say nations, naturally I'm referring to the armies of the nations in order they might be at Jerusalem when Jesus Christ comes from heaven, with the armies of the angels and the redeemed to reign for 1,000 years. On the earth in person. Satan desires his Antichrist as the leader of the armies of the world to be there so a fifth attempt to annihilate Jesus Christ might be carried out. Battle of Armageddon will be Satan's fifth attempt to slay Christ. In all of this satanic program, you will notice that the Antichrist is to be assisted by an individual known in Bible prophecy as the false prophet. Satan realizes the tremendous power religion has in the hearts and minds of people. False prophet is to be an established religious leader known throughout the world, and Satan will use him in an endeavor to get the people to cooperate under the disguise of worship, which will be in connection with the religious service. Here's the scripture. And he, that is the false prophet, exercises all the power, first beast, before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Revelation 13, 12 in the King James Version of the Bible. In the latter part of that verse, you'll note the word worship used, denoting that the false prophet's influence will come through the medium of religious activity. Naturally, it will present quite a trying situation for the Antichrist, who will be a political and military man to demand recognition from the peoples of the world at that time. But if an individual who is already an acknowledged religious leader cooperates with him and possesses the same power he has functioning with him, there will be little difficulty in getting the people of the world to go along with Satan's program implemented through the Antichrist. Please remember that the false prophet will be a worker of miracles. Scripture, and he, false prophet, the second beast, doeth great wonders, but he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Revelation 13, 13, and 14. Purpose of the association of these two men is to use a religious manipulation whereby, through the presence of worship and religion, false prophet will be able to perform various miraculous signs, lying wonders, and religious hocus-pocus. Of course, this seemingly miraculous power is going to have a tremendous influence and submissive effect upon the peoples of the world. To the average non-Christian living on the earth at that time, such a display of miraculous power will cause him to believe that the religious leader doing those things is a chosen agent of God. In all reality, he will be pulling the wool over the eyes of the people, so to speak, that here's the scripture which bears out this Bible truth. Scripture, even him, Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. For in this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that all might be damned, judged who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians 2, 9-12 in the King James Version. In this portion of Scripture, we'll note that God is going to send them strong delusion. This strong delusion will come upon unbelieving people in that day, and naturally, because of this misleading influence which God will permit to come upon the population of the earth, because they have refused to accept the gospel message faithfully given forth by his servants, they'll be led away and stray and will accept both the Antichrist and the false prophet. As we look around the world today, we already see the spirit of unbelief permeating every facet of our society. As we get closer to the culmination of this age, which time God will permit the satanic Antichrist to make his appearance on the world scene, later accompanied by the second beast, the false prophet, we're going to see more and more satanic influence being exercised upon the people of this earth. That time God will place in the hearts of the unbelievers a fatal delusion, as at the Greek text puts it, an inner working and misleading influence. This inner working in the hearts of the unbelieving population, together with the satanic miracles which the Antichrist will perform at that time, be a means of leading the people completely astray. This is a part of the great deception which is coming on the earth. We're already seeing initial steps of progress moving forward toward ultimate fulfillment. Speaking of the false prophet, the Bible tells us that he is to come out of the earth, which means that he will receive his power from the people, or I should say will manifest his satanic power to the peoples of the earth, because he is to be an international personality. Here's a scripture. I beheld another beast, that is the false prophet, coming up out of the earth. Revelation 13:11 in the King James Version. A mark of distinction which will make the false prophet somewhat different than the Antichrist is that he will have two dictatorships denoted by the two horns of the male lamb. In the second part of the above verse of scripture, we read, and he, false prophet, another beast, had two horns like a lamb. The false prophet will have power given to him by Satan to do great and wonderful things, such as making fire come down from heaven in the sight of the people living on the earth. This is nothing new, because Satan is able to do this also. In the Old Testament, we're told how Satan sent fire down to burn up Job's sheep. Remember that during the days of Moses, when he was contending with Pharaoh in Egypt, the rod became a serpent when it was cast to the ground. Pharaoh's magicians also cast their rods down, and they too became serpents. From these two incidents recorded in Scripture, we know that Satan has tremendous power, more than the average person fully realizes. during the reign of the false prophet, he is to command the people on the earth to make a great image to the Antichrist. It will be because of his two-horned dictatorship that he will be able to cause the people to comply with his request. The Bible says that the people are going to be forced to worship the image of the Antichrist by bowing down, and if they're not willing to bow down, they'll be killed. There's a scripture, and he, false prophet, had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Revelation 13:15 in the King James Version. We believe this image is to be a statue, something made out of material substance, and for years we Bible students have wondered how a man could give a statue the ability to speak. Today we have the miraculous marvel of electronics, and when we realize that man has done with robots, which actually perform many functions of the human body, controlled from a central station, you know, it's no trick at all. The image to speak, because after all, this is to be done through satanic deception. The great image of the Antichrist to be erected in the Middle East, part of the world, will talk and give orders and instructions. Because the people will be under the influence of a strong delusion, they will be afraid not to obey. Naturally, as the world moves closer to the ultimate fulfillment of this specific scientific prophecy, more light will be shed on the subject. Personally, I believe the Bible teaches that the Antichrist rule with the false prophet and his right-hand man will be an international rule of worldwide scope. Here's my reason for saying so. Here's a scripture, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore, idolatrous woman, sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues, Revelation 17:50. You'll note the word sitteth in this verse of scripture. This is the same word which would be used in describing a person riding a horse. We would say that the person was sitting on the horse, in other words, the horse is literally carrying that person, and the individual in this particular verse of scripture is the idolatrous woman. She controls and guides the horse, as it were. This woman is overseen or guided by the false prophet. And naturally, his distinction, a jurisdiction, extends into many nations of the earth. That's why the scripture says, they are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. When we look further into the scriptures, we see that the false prophet controls the woman of Revelation 17 and 18. Speaking about this woman, the Apostle John says he was awestruck by her ecclesiastical beauty. And he describes it in this manner, in the scripture. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, Revelation 17:3-5. In the 18th chapter of Revelation, John saw another picture of the same woman, and here he describes her in this manner of scripture. Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, Revelation 18:16 in the King James Version. Whoever is at the head of the city, spoken of in the 17th and 18th chapters of the book of Revelation and identified as the false prophet, will in all probability continue through the 7 years of the tribulation period, because the Bible tells us that the Antichrist and the false prophet, both of them satanically inspired, are to come to a frightful, calamitous end at the same time. Please consider the verse of scripture with me. Scripture, and the beast, Antichrist, was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them. They had received the mark of the beast, and them had worshipped the image. These both, the Antichrist and the false prophet, were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone, Revelation 19:20. This is the calamity of which the false prophet is destined. We're looking at the overall plan of God as laid down in Scripture concerning the end-time ministry of an individual known in Bible prophecy as the false prophet. We've seen the false prophet is to be given unusual satanic powers. Like the Bible says, he exercises all the power of the first beast before him. In other words, the false prophet will receive a duplication of whatever power the Antichrist receives from Satan. He will perform signs and lying wonders through satanic inspiration because God will permit him to do so. The masses of the peoples on the earth in the last days will have lived a godly life, stopping their ears to the gospel message and refusing the message of salvation in Christ Jesus. So God will permit the false prophet to deceive them. Through Satan's power to performing signs and lying wonders, God will allow them to stew in their own juice. According to the prophecies laid out in Scripture, the false prophet is to be a man of tremendous importance, and he will work closely associated with the Antichrist during the tribulation period. God is going to send his dictator, Jesus Christ, back to the earth at the culmination of the tribulation period, and Christ will destroy both the Antichrist and the false prophet by casting them alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Good place for him. The first hell, which is located in the lower regions of the earth, according to Luke 16, is described as a flame. The rich man said, I am tormented in this flame. But in Revelation 19:20, the scripture is talking about the second hell, Gehenna, which is described as a lake of fire. It's not described as a flame, but as an ocean of fire. The only lake of fire in the universe today is the sun. According to the Book of Knowledge, which contains photographs of the sun, great waves of fire mount up many thousands of miles high on the surface of the sun. The Bible tells us that the false prophet and the Antichrist are going to be cast alive into a lake of fire at the conclusion of the Battle of Armageddon, which will be the beginning of the day of the Lord or the thousand-year reign of Christ on the earth. There's an amazing thing about these two men being cast into the lake of fire, because please note how the power of God comes into this picture. These two men will note or not be consumed in that fire, because at the end of the thousand years, the lake of fire is going to give them up for judgment. They'll be taken out of the lake of fire, and they will appear at the white throne judgment, where they'll be judged just like any other sinner. The Bible teaches that everybody down through the ages who has rejected God's plan of salvation must eventually stand at the white throne judgment and be judged out of the books. By books, the scripture means the book of life and the Lamb's book of life. Everybody born into this world has his name written in the book of life, and it stays there till he sins a willful sin. Later, if he repents of his sin and accepts Jesus Christ as his Savior, his name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Psalm 69:28 and Revelation 21:27 in the King James Version. Both of these books will be at the white throne judgment, and before anyone is consigned to the second death, both books will be searched for his name. Therefore, everybody down through the years who has rejected Christ and God's plan of salvation is going to be judged at the white throne judgment and then cast into the lake of fire to remain there forever. The false prophet is destined to calamity because his destiny has already been determined in God's overall plan of the ages, and God is one who never lies but always keeps his promises and carries out his plans in absolute detail. Not only is the false prophet destined to calamity in a devil's hell for the countless ages of God's eternities, but the Bible tells us that the woman of Revelation 17 and 18 is also destined to calamity. Here's the scripture. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, they shall hit the whore, idolatrous woman, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Revelation 17:16 in the King James Version. In other words, these 10 horns, which will be 10 dictators who govern the 10 separate portions of the revived old Roman Empire, are to plan with the Antichrist to destroy the beautiful city built on seven hills, which reigns over the kings of the earth. The scripture says she will be burned with fire. The 10 kings, together with the Antichrist and the false prophet, are going to strip the city of all of its wealth and valuable treasures and make it desolate. Same time, they'll burn the city to the ground. May I suggest that you read Revelation 18, beginning with verse 4 and continue to verse 20. It's all in conjunction with the reign of the Antichrist and the calamity which will come upon the false prophet at the end of the tribulation period. In the days just prior to the return of Christ to the earth, 10 nations are to arise in Europe, which will become very powerful, and they will assist the Antichrist. Here's a scripture. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings. They have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast, the Antichrist. For God has put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, the Antichrist, and to the words of God shall be fulfilled. Revelation 17, 12 to 13, and 17 in the King James Version. All this agrees perfectly with what Daniel has to say in his book about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the scripture. In the days of these kings, 10 toes on Nebuchadnezzar's image, old Roman Empire nation, shall the God of heaven, Jesus Christ, set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Daniel 2:44. What we are seeing in Europe today regarding the gathering of 10 nations is part of the signs of our times, and it's magnificently fulfilling Bible prophecies. The false prophet is to play a tremendous part in the speedy fulfillment of many Bible prophecies relative to the Antichrist's appearance and worldwide kingdom in the last days. False prophet is to be the head of a great organization located on seven hills, which is a city that rules over the kings of the earth. You will find that in Revelation 17:18, the Bible tells us that the false prophet is to have the same power as the Antichrist has. There's a scripture, and he, false prophet, exercises all the power of the first beast, Antichrist, before him and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. And he doeth great wonders, miracles, so that he, false prophet, maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he, false prophet, deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Revelation 13, 12 through 14. The false prophet is to become the mouthpiece for the Antichrist, causing all the inhabitants of the earth to worship Satan's adopted son, the man of sin. Scripture, and he, false prophet, had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Revelation 13, 15. The false prophet is going to give spectacular exhibitions of his satanic power by causing fire to come down from heaven in the sight of men. He's to be second in power to the Antichrist. We have seen that when Jesus Christ comes back to the earth at the conclusion of the Battle of Armageddon, he is to take the Antichrist and the false prophet and have them cast alive into the lake of fire. Scripture, and the beast Antichrist was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which was he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and then that worshipped his image. These both, Antichrist and false prophet, were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Revelation 19:20 in the King James Version of the Bible. We learn then from Scripture that these two will not be consumed in the lake of fire, but at the end, the thousand-year reign of Christ, the lake is going to give up these two dead sinners, and they are to stand at the white throne judgment and give an account to Christ for their behavior as human beings while here on the earth. Thus we see the doom of the false prophet. He's going to be treated like any other sinner. And after he's judged, he, together with the Antichrist and all their sinners of all ages, are going to be cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with fire and brimstone. You'll note that the woman spoken of in Revelation 17 and 18 is described as a great city, and we have her destruction and her doom also foretold in Scripture. There is the Scripture, and the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, they shall hate the whore, the idolatrous woman, and shall make her desolate, and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Revelation 17:16. When that happens, an angel will come down from heaven and cry out, saying, Scripture, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen and is become the habitations of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and unfaithful bird. Revelation 18:2. During the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth, while Satan is bound in the bottomless pit, all the devils and all the unclean, hateful birds and unclean animals will be driven into the kingdom city, which will be just a heap of ashes, as we've just seen. This verse of Scripture, Revelation 18:2, in the light of what I've just said, shows the destruction of this great city, which is spoken of as Babylon, meaning to say that the religion of this great city originally came from Babylon. Thus will end the woman, the kingdom city located on seven hills, but the false prophet will continue with the Antichrist after the city has been destroyed, causing all the people upon the earth to bow down and worship the image of the Antichrist or to be put to death. This rulership of the false prophet will be terminated at the conclusion of the Battle of Armageddon, when Jesus Christ will cause both the Antichrist and the false prophet to be cast into the lake of fire, according to Revelation 19:20 in the King James Version of the Bible. The frightful calamity which will overtake the false prophet is foretold in Scripture, and it must come to pass exactly as it's written. And we'll have our next lesson will be Israel in four stages next week.
All right, Ruthie, thank you for all that great info, and I'm glad to hear about his calamity. Amen. And I hope you are too. Amen. Now it's that time to hear about the great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, that's 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. Noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Six and Road take the mics for the Six and Road Show. 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study. For the Wednesday Bible Study Show, with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet and Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, along with trivia, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, get lit. That's at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework. And that happens at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 Pacific. You've heard about the great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. It's that time. It's time for you who've called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. It's that time for you to answer our question of the day, as well as ask your own questions and comments. It's that time for you to answer the question, what is the largest gift, speaking of size, what was the largest gift you've ever received? What was the largest gift you ever received? It's that time. It's open mic
time. All right. Well, Ruthie, we're going to let you start us out.
Nothing I could think of. I have a couple, actually. You made me. You got me a big balloon that says I love you on it. I thought that was big. But there was also Grandpa gave me his 1956 Ford Fairlane Thunderbird when he had a stroke. So I would say that was very large. So I guess those would cover that.
Well, me, I would have to say largest gift that I ever received. Well, I'd say it was the kitchen set that your family bought us.
Oh, yeah, the glass ones, and they didn't know you were blind, so they got you a glass set at our wedding.
No, no, not the dishes, the kitchen set, the table and chairs.
Oh, yeah, it's too bad they aren't here no more, but that was Gunderson's, yeah.
Yeah. All righty. So I'd have to say that was the largest gift I ever received personally. So, and we don't have no one else with us, Ruth?
Not at the moment, just you and me.
Okay. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to have our closing comments here that we have for every show, and then we'll get you to give us a closing prayer, and we'll have a closing song. Amen.
All right, Doug.
All right, here we go.
If you'd like to contact us via email, you may do so by using one of the following email addresses. If you wish to contact me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, use the email address feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, the letter N as Nancy, then touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on the throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, @gmail.com. If you wish to contact Ruth, you contact her by using KJV1611Ruth@gmail.com. That's again K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry, @gmail.com. In your subject line, just put what you're in reference to, you wanting to get a hold of us, whether it's my email address about whatever it may be, or Ruth, you would put Bible prophecy, and then refer in your message to your subject line, and we will not only read your email, but we will get back in contact with you. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, that's 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. Noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Six and Road take the mics for the Six and Road Show, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study for the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet and Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, along with trivia, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, get lit. That's at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible college on the air with no homework. And that happens at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 Pacific. If you'd like to keep shows like this one on the air, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, sixeyes6@gmail.com. Again, that's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit number 6, @gmail.com. In the box where it asks for the amount of your love gift, well, that comes from your heart, no matter how big or small, will be greatly appreciated. And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. For those of you who would like to make a donation to Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 2for1katie@gmail.com. That is the digit number 2, then you spell out the word 4, F is Frank, O is Oscar, R is Randy, the digit number 1, Then you spell the name Katie, K as kite, A as apple, T as Tom, I as an Indian, E as elephant, at gmail.com. Then in the box for the amount of your love gift, any amount, no matter how big or small, is greatly appreciated, and Blind Trucking thanks you very, very much.
All right. And so, Ruthie, we want you to give us a closing prayer, and after that, we're going to end with a nice song. Amen.
Dear Lord, we love and praise your name tonight. There's so many people that are sick tonight, Lord. Just be with all of them. You got mail, sweetie. Be with everybody else that needs your salvation, too. The Holy Spirit's got his job cut out for him, too. There's so much going on in the world that's bad. There's so much drugs and alcohol and people doing all kinds of other things that are not supposed to be done. I look at the paper today and reading the police reports. There's just too many things going on. Paper was almost full of it from the top to the bottom. I wish that, hey, they put something there about somebody getting saved. That'd be cool. But we just want to praise and bless your name and thank you for the program tonight. Hope somebody enjoyed it and found you too, Lord. We love you, hon. Amen.
Amen. And now we're going to close with this song and saying God bless. And have a great night, and we'll catch you tomorrow on the Sunday Gospel Show. Amen.
Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm altered now, hurt and abused. I can't say what's left to lose. Truth. No strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die. Mm-hmm. One death will change my life. Take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart's torn in pieces. It's my offering. Lay me at the throne. Leave me there alone to gaze upon your glory and sing to you. Please take me to the King. Truth is, it's time to stop playing these games. We need a word for the people's pain. So Lord, speak right now. Let it pour like rain. We're chasing after you. Oh, I have no room. don't have much breath. My heart.